Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. Hey, you hear those ads playing for Otter Creek Farm? Let me tell you, I know that place. Charlene and I go out there. I mean, it's an amazing place. I like to call it an oasis in North Alabama. But it's one that people are getting to know all over the world. I was talking to Frank not long ago. He had people flying in from France to do a pheasant hunt out there, I believe it was. And just literally, it's quite the facility. I mean, you got hundreds and hundreds of manicured acres. You've got the guides, the guns, the dogs, all of it. If you like to hunt pheasant and quail, they can square you away on that. But at the same time, they've also got amazing hardstand facilities. I'm talking beautiful. The kind of place where you go and have a wedding destination with the reception to follow, and the chefs there can cook for you like you wouldn't believe. Corporate retreats, getaways, just spend the night with your family or by yourself. I'm just saying, OtterCreekFarmstead.com is the website. You've got to check this out. You'll see very quickly when you look at it why they've been featured in Garden Gun magazine, why Donald Trump Jr. himself came and stayed there not long ago to do a hunt. Otter Creek Farm, that's OtterCreekFarmstead.com. OtterCreekFarmstead.com. All right, we are in number two of the Triple Dipper. A primary on primaries, I like to call it. So here's the bottom line, folks. Here's what you got to watch for. If you are, or somebody you know is, thinking about running for a statewide office, or for that matter, any office, you have to go through a qualifying period. You have to actually sign, if you're as a Republican, you have to literally say, it is my intent to run for this office. And if you're running locally, and that can be, you know, like a local school board race, a local county commission race, one of those kind of races, you have to qualify with your local party affiliation. So, for instance, when I was a party chair for Etowah County, we opened up qualifying, and we aligned ourselves with the exact same dates that the state party did, just to make it all easier. But we literally had to collect the filing fees, fill out the forms, and we have bylaws we have to follow. I mean, literally, our bylaws said, if you are trying to run as a Republican, our bylaws say, if you're trying to run as a Republican and you have openly supported Democrat candidates for office or opposed a Republican candidate for office in the last 6 years, you cannot be a member of our executive committee, and you are very likely not going to be qualified for office. I mean, you got to have rules, right? Got to have standards. So the same thing can be true at the state level. If you're running for statewide office, like the state legislature, lieutenant governor, attorney general, any of those, qualifying with the state party has to occur. They've set the dates for that in January of this year, of 2022, I'm sorry. So in January, they open up qualifying, is what they call it, and people will start dropping off their applications. You can go to the office there and do it, fill out the form, pay the fee. There's a different fee per office depending on what you're doing. It's not free. And it's usually based on some percentage of the salary of the office itself, I believe. But all said and done, if you know somebody who's thinking about running for office, they have to do that thing. They have to qualify with the party upon which they're going to run. If they're going to run as an independent, it's a lot harder because they have to actually get signatures. And I've forgotten the level, but they have to get signatures to be allowed to run as an independent. Anyway, all that to say, you don't just suddenly show up on the ballot. You have to apply for the opportunity or qualify for the opportunity to run on your party affiliation. Then what happens? Well, we're looking at primary season. So it's like it's not a done deal. So in May of this next year, the primary election takes place, and we'll find out which Republicans and which Democrats are going to be the ones who go forward to the general election in the fall. And this is where it gets kind of weird. Because when you've been in office for a while, if you draw a challenger in your own party, it means one of two things. Either somebody just wants your job. You know, I just want to do that myself. You get out of the way. I want my turn. That could be their motivation. But generally speaking, if you draw a primary within your own party as an incumbent who's choosing to run again, it means that there are certain aspects of your party that don't agree with the job you've done so far. Right now, I'm looking at, for instance, here's an article on U.S. News. Literally U.S. News pointing out that Governor Ivey has drawn a number of challengers in her race. I mean, no fooling. I mean, there's always going to be sort of what I would call the lower tier of candidates who are just dissatisfied, but they don't really have any means. They don't really have any name ID. They don't have any money to back their campaign. And we've got a few of those in this race right now. They're good folks, but they may not be making the kind of run that's going to take more than about a percentage point away or two from Governor Ivey. I mean, Governor Ivey is a well-known name. She's been in state politics running statewide for a long time. But now, U.S. News and World Report is reporting, which we all know, Tim James recently got in. He's a son of former Governor Bob James. He ran in 2010 for governor. He barely missed getting into the runoff by 200 votes. In other words, he ran a statewide campaign. He was one of the top three candidates, and he barely missed getting into the runoff. And the two that did, if you remember Robert Bentley, it was Robert Bentley and Tim James were within 200 votes of each other against Bradley Byrne. Robert Bentley wound up becoming governor and then later resigned. Linda Blanchard is also in. She's a former ambassador to Slovenia appointed by Trump. She was a heavy campaign donor to the Trump administration and then to the Trump candidacy. And she is now in the, she switched over from the U.S. Senate race and took all the money with her because she put $5 million into her U.S. Senate race, and she's allegedly taking all that money with her over into a gubernatorial race instead. Well, taking on a well-funded incumbent can be an uphill battle. But there's two people right there who understand what it means to get around the state, especially Tim James, who has run this same race before. However, you got other races with primaries right now. Our U.S. Senate race. That's an open seat. They ain't duking it out, but they're duking it out as being different from each other, which, I mean, you get that. But Katie Britt used to work for Richard Shelby, who has endorsed her. Mo Brooks has been a congressman, a member of the Freedom Caucus, and has been endorsed by President Trump. If you remember, Senator Shelby didn't want to vote in our Senate election in the past. We wound up with Doug Jones, in part because people believe that Senator Shelby had sort of dissed him at the very end on top of the fact, I didn't say who I was talking about. You remember the scandal with Chief Justice Roy Moore running for U.S. Senate. And all the scandal broke, and they basically that was the proving ground for the whole Brett Kavanaugh style of attacking a candidate. Nothing was ever proven. In fact, it all went away. How about that? But during the campaign season, it got so ugly that Richard Shelby said he wasn't even going. He was going to encourage a write-in candidacy, and we wound up losing that seat to a Democrat. All that to say, now you're looking at his former chief of staff now running against Mo Brooks, who is a far more conservative candidate, but yet Katie Britt is running an excellent campaign. They're going to be duking it out now for a while, but then Mike Durant got in. Mike Durant, former U.S. Army aviator, special operations aviation guy, highly decorated. He was a member of the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, shot down in Mogadishu as part of what we refer to as Black Hawk Down. He came out of nowhere and suddenly polls at 16%. That's big doings. When you can jump in a race with what amounts to no political name ID and suddenly grab 16%, while the other two top candidates are running at 31s to 28s, thereabout. I'm just telling you, that primary is going to be interesting. But then looking around the state, y'all, where's all this going? Well, I mean, you heard myself and Sean Ross talking about this stuff. How do these incumbents get challenged? I will tell you honestly, there's a pretty heavy level of what they call incumbent protection. If you don't have incumbent protection within some of the special interests and others that are in Montgomery, then you have really alienated yourself. There's a heavy amount of incumbent protection right now. There's actually a PAC that was formed. You can look it up on the Secretary of State's website. It's called Lion, like the big cat, Lion PAC, I believe. The guy who is now the head of the Business Council of Alabama, Robin Stone, last I heard, was the one who was running Lion Pack. Alabama Power put $1 million into the Lion Pack. The Lion Pack, it is believed, is there strictly to help protect incumbents who are getting challenged on the gas tax. So, incumbent protection is there. Money is what it takes to buy ads, to buy radio space, to do mailers, to pay campaign staff, to buy billboards. All that stuff takes money. So some of these guys that are running, like Senator Tom Watley, who is the incumbent Republican down in the Auburn area. He's being challenged right now by a guy who is probably a pretty good challenger, a guy named Jay Hovey, who is on the Auburn City Council. Well, Hovey is challenging Whatley. Whatley already has somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000 in his war chest. That's a lot. Hovey's going to have to run a massive grassroots campaign to catch up with that level of ability to spend. And we'll see how that goes. It's sort of like Linda Blanchard having $5 million in the governor's race. That's big doings. You can buy a whole lot of ad space with that. And then you got things like over in Etowah County. Mac Butler, good friend of mine, is actually running now. He was on the show the other day. Mac Butler announced his candidacy to run for the House again. He was in the House before, decided he would run for my old position, actually, in the state Senate. He did not prevail, but now he's going to go ahead and run back for the House again. And in his words, he's watching what's happening down in Montgomery, and he's seeing the way that the opponent that he has, the incumbent, Gil Isbell, has been doing things and voting. And he says, I can't let that go on. He's going to come back and run again. I think you're going to see more of that in the days to come. All right. Listen, folks, we're going to take a short break right now. When we get back, I'm going to start moving into other aspects of this topic. But the primary on primaries is this. If you're going to run, you got about 30 days to decide. If you're going to run, you can't just throw your name in the wind and see what happens. You got to run. I'll talk about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, before I go too much further, let me tell you about ZLA Solutions, because these are folks that I also know personally. That's the joy, in my opinion, of doing these personal endorsements. I know these folks. I check them out. I feel good about it. So ZLA Solutions, if you're looking for a job or you're looking to hire people for the jobs you got, I'm just telling you, they are one of the best around. You got to check them out. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Like I said, go on there. They got jobs posted right now. If you're looking for one, good paying jobs, a lot of them with benefits all over Alabama. But again, if you're a workforce guy, you're an employer, you need to hire people to fill out your own ranks, then just understand they can square that away for you too. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. Blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. ZLA Solutions. They like to say at ZLA, we don't make it, we just make it better. At ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. All right, so wrapping up this section on the Triple Dipper, I've been calling this a primer on primaries. So let me go down this road for a minute, because I've done a couple of primaries, and I think I've told you on the show before, as a former state senator, I had four counties in my district when I first got elected. We had to redraw the lines. I had three when we were done. Nonetheless, a multi-county race, all right? I ran against a longtime incumbent when I first ran, and I had nothing to work with. I had some, but it was a scratch campaign, all right? And we wore him out on the grassroots. My opponent came back in 2014 for my run. I was the incumbent at that point. But he had the teachers union backing him like crazy. They put $500,000 into his race. Me personally, in my second race, my run for re-election, I literally had somewhere in the neighborhood of $770,000 that I raised to be able to run that race. So that's $1.2 million or more in a four-county, then three-county, actually, race. That's significant. Now, how do you do that? How do you raise that money? Well, you know, like I said, I didn't have much of anything when I first started. It was me and Charlene and a group of people who believed in us, and I didn't have the ability to pay staff, and we just did all we could. We bought signs, and we knocked on doors, and we made phone calls, and we, by golly, got out there and worked like dogs. And I mean, we just did it. Let me tell you something. When I ran the second time, same thing. Worked like dogs and was everywhere. If there was an event going on in our district, we went there. If there were people whose hands I could shake, I went there. If there was somebody who would listen, I went there. And that's the thing. Do not think for a second that people know you. Assume they don't. I thought I was fairly well known in the main county of my district when I first ran. Nope. I found out that I had you know, I had lots of friends, but lots of friends don't translate always into lots of votes, because you need so much more than that. You got to get out there. And one of the things that's great is having a party that backs you. So yes, I was the Republican candidate, but nonetheless, you get out there and you work, and you work like your hair's on fire. You take nothing for granted. And so, folks, if you want someone in a race right now, they got about 30 days to do the qualifying. They got to fill out the form. They got to pay the fee. But they cannot just show up once in a while and stand there and do pictures. They have got to get out and knock on doors, make phone calls themselves. But they also need an army of volunteers around them. That's what it takes. And that's what Charlene and I had, and no one can ever tell me that we didn't have one of the best campaigns in the state. I know we did. I admire some of the campaigns I'm seeing right now. I admire Katie Britt's campaign is pretty stellar. She's running a very positive I'm everywhere campaign. John Merrill was known for being all over the state. He would talk about the fact that he hit all 67 counties at least twice and went through two sets of tires on his car. That's what you got to do. And so I remember one time we had literally had, I'm not kidding, y'all. We literally had four events in one day in three counties. And we had teams of people at all events. And I made the rounds for all of them in one day. It was a long day, but it was worth it. And when you put it on with class. Do not be one of those candidates that sets up a folding table and has a few bags of peanuts to give to people when they walk by your table. Why would anyone want to vote for that? Do it with class. Think about, what do I want in a candidate? And then go be that candidate. And folks, I'm just telling you, ain't nothing wrong with the way we did things. Charlene literally would have, if we set up a booth at a county fair, we had a table with a tablecloth. Charlene had a vase of flowers sitting on that tablecloth. We had campaign materials. We had signs. We had banners. We had balloons for kids. We did face painting for kids. We would do all this stuff. And it was awesome. And I'm going to be honest with you, it was exhausting, and I had the best time of my life. We enjoyed it, because that's one of the things that we said when we ran. We're going to run, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to meet a whole lot of people, and we're going to have a good time. Don't ever be the candidate who runs mad and angry all the time. Why would you want to vote for that? Don't ever be the candidate that is so unappealing that no one would ever want to vote for you. Don't do that. So I think that one of the things that has to happen in these primaries, if you're going to run against an incumbent, Tim James, Lindy Blanchard, if you're listening, I'm just saying, Mo Brooks, you need to be listening. Start running positive. Not that you always haven't. I'm just saying, you're going to have to set yourself apart. And when you don't have the issues, at least have the smile. And when you don't have the ability to buy the signs, go out and knock on the doors. And when you don't have the ability to message the way you wish you could, get on social media and tell them what a good time you're having. Be the candidate who's everywhere. Be the candidate who's enjoying people, and people will gravitate to that. That's so important. That is so, so important. Well, listen, we're going to move here in a few minutes to the Grand Council. I'm interested to hear what kind of questions we have coming from my brethren. We got Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor that are going to be joining us here in a few minutes. And these guys know politics as well or better than I do. They've been around it for a while, been talking about it for a lot longer than I have. But this is a season right now. I mean, I'm talking about, for a radio show host, what we're about to enter into in the election season. My Lord, this is like a target-rich environment. You can call for fire, and there is always something to hit with a bomb. But I think it's going to be enjoyable. And whereas, and let me just say this too, politics are a part of our life. So you as a voter, don't be so jaded. Don't look, I don't like any of them. I ain't going to vote. Find your one you like. Recognize that you're stuck with what you get. If you don't have a primary, go vote for the one you got, because what you could get would be a whole lot worse. Look at the president of the United States right now. Yep. We had a lot of people that stayed home. What if they hadn't? So I'm just saying, get involved. Get busy, get active, and go recruit some candidates right now. Dadgum, we need some people in office. And I'm going to be honest with you. Some of these folks that are still looking to run unopposed, They do not deserve to be unopposed. Not at all. If they raised your gas taxes and you're mad about it, make it an issue. If they didn't show up to help you when your business got shut down during COVID, make it an issue. And if they never showed up at your school when you were concerned about education, and if you don't even know who they are because they never show up at anything, call them on it. Now, be aware, just because you didn't see them doesn't mean they weren't there. But go find out. Are they really doing the job? I know one state senator down in the Birmingham area who has not been to Montgomery in 3 years. 3 years. Why is that even okay? That's a zero representation for her constituents. I know guys who literally, in office, they do the Montgomery thing, but they don't do anything in their districts because they're so used to having the office. Or for that matter, they say, well, they'll come to me. Well, primary season is upon us, folks. Primary season is upon us. If you don't like who you got, find one who can run. But remember, I've been telling you this whole half hour, it's a whole lot more than just saying, I'm going to run. Hope that was a primer on primaries you can work with. If you have any questions, just call in. We'll talk about it. But right after the top of the hour, going to one of my favorite moments every single week, the Grand Council, Dale Jackson, Jeff Poore, and me bouncing questions off each other. We'll be right back for it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.